We have been in a little bit of a series, and we're going to continue that series until we're done with the book of John. In the book of John, towards the very end of the book, John tells us why he wrote the book. He said, many other signs and wonders did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in these books. In another place, he said, if they were all written in the books, he's not sure whether there would be a library big enough to hold all the account of the life of Jesus. But he said this, this I have written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing you might have life. He wasn't talking about living because everyone who was reading it was alive. He's talking about something beyond just existence. The word he chooses there is the word zoe, and the Greeks use that word zoe of something more than simply existing, but really a fullness of life. Jesus also in the book of John said, I have come to give you life, and that was the purpose for me coming, and to give it to you abundantly. And that's where we've come up in Christian speak of this abundant life. And we were trying to, we're discovering what is this abundant life and how is it that we might be able to enjoy this life beyond just mere existence. John then takes little snapshots, little sketches. If he had had a Polaroid, we'd call them Polaroids with Jesus. He takes these little sketches of moments in time when Jesus is trying to help people who are desperately looking for something more in life. And Jesus says, this is where you're going to find it. And John draws us a little sketch. Our first sketch was a man who came to Jesus at night. He was a Pharisee, and he was really identified by his associations as a Pharisee and his own good behavior. And Jesus says, that's not life. Who you hang out with and how good you are is not life. What you are looking for, Nicodemus, that you might enjoy the kingdom of God is you are in need of being born again. You're in need of coming to the light and believing in me. I am the light. And what you're looking for is in me. The second encounter that John draws for us is a woman who's really identified by her relationships and especially maybe not good relationships. His response to her is, go call your husband and come back. And I think what he's implying in this conversation with her is that there are many things that you've been doing that is trying to find significance and meaning and hope in life, and you've been placing all of your trust in that as though that could satisfy you. Let's bring that up, and once we can talk about that, once we can deal with all the things you've been substituting for life, then we can talk about where life is, and that's in me. And so he really has her in the need of addressing all that she had been looking for in her satisfaction in life because she needed to deal with that. And I don't think that's I think that she's not some kind of an exception. I think our world and all of us at times look for that which will satisfy us and bring us some kind of sustaining enjoyment in life. And Jesus says, you got to deal with that because if you're using that to substitute for God, you won't find happiness in God or in that. It's only when we find satisfaction in God that all the relationships of our life bring us satisfaction. It's when we find satisfaction in God that all of the efforts and the activities of our life find their meaning. Today we find ourselves in another environment. We're in a different area. We've left Samaria. Jesus is now in the fifth chapter coming back into the city of Jerusalem. This is a little sketch of the old city of Jerusalem as it probably looked during the days of Jesus in the first century. And the side is where very much Roman, a lot of Roman influence because of Herod's building. Herod was a wonderful builder, but he loved the Roman, Greco-Roman architecture. And on the side of the city, on the outer part of the city wall, is where we're going to find this encounter today at a pool. And it's found in the fifth chapter of the book of John. And so let me invite you to turn in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the seat in front of you. In the New Testament passages that are there, there's the first four books, which are the accounts of Jesus' life. That fourth book is the book of John. And I'm going to invite you to the fifth chapter. It's where we find our sketch this morning. John sketches for us this interesting encounter with a man who is at a pool. It says this in chapter 5, verse 1. After this, that is the accounts of chapter 4, There was a feast of the Jews, and we're not told which feast it was. Many feasts, Jesus goes back into Jerusalem. It's somewhat customary for a Jew, for the Jews who lived in the proximity of the city or could make the trip to go back into the city on a regular basis for feasts. We're not sure which one this is. And so Jesus, as he does often, went into Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. Let's just stop there just for a second. The Sheep Gate is on the northeast corner, even up to this day, of the old city wall. The sheep were not, remember you saw that picture, the sheep weren't allowed to just come into the city, and they needed a lot of sheep in the city on a regular basis. Sacrifices were going on all the time in the city, and so there was a need for sheep to constantly be brought into the city, and there was a specific gate in which they were to come into the city of Jerusalem. It was the Sheep Gate. Near that Sheep Gate was a pool called Bethesda. Let me just tell you, it's nice for us to get a little bit of background in these things so that we don't think that this is just some made-up story. The Pool of Bethesda, let's just talk about it just for a second. There was a lot of confusion on just what Bethesda means. Different commentators over the centuries tried to figure out what does this Pool of Bethesda, what does this word mean? I have commentaries in my library that are from the 1800s. In the 1800s, they were trying to figure out what the word meant, the turn of the 19th century, and I have a commentary in 1970, and I'm reading through those all through the week. There were lots of different spellings of the word Bethesda in the old ancient Greek manuscripts because it was spoken and not always written down, and so some people added an I, some people took the E out and put AI. There was all kinds of different spellings of this word, and so people thought, well, maybe it's the house of. That's what Beth means, Bethlehem, Bethsaida, the house of. Maybe the house of mercy, because if it was spelled just right, it could be the house of mercy, the house of healing, the house of the spring. They couldn't figure out what it actually meant because there were many, many different spellings. Wasn't until 1960 that we found one of the oldest manuscripts that had the Pool of Bethesda, and it was found in Qumran, and we wasn't discovered until 1960. It actually seems to be the place of twin springs, which was actually exactly the account of a man who visited Jerusalem and wrote about these two pools that had colonnades over them that was separated in the middle by a rock outcropping, and there were pools on either side, this Pool of Bethesda. It was finally started excavation by Napoleon III. France got control of the area, and they began excavating it, and it wasn't until this century that they finally said, this must be the exact spot. It meets all the criteria. It's near the Sheep Gate, and this is where it is in the northern. This is part of the Arab quarter now in Jerusalem. If you were to go into this region, you would be in the Arab quarter, just on the north side of the old Temple Mount, which is now the Muslim mosque up on the Temple Mount. Just to the north of that, you would find the Pool of Bethesda. This is what it looks like today after it's been excavated. It was a deep pool, although you have to realize that Jerusalem has been built on and built on and built on, and the old ancient things are some places 20, 30, 40 feet below modern-day dwelling. This is probably what it looked like in the day of Jesus. Jesus would have come into the city, probably in order to get there, he must have entered in from the north somewhere. But we remember in the fourth chapter, he was up in Galilee. So he would have made his way down from the north and entered into the northeast quarter of the city of Jerusalem. And you wouldn't have to go through this area where the pool was, but for whatever reason, Jesus makes a determined directional change to go through the pool. You didn't have to go through there in order to get into the city. The temple that was built by Herod is